You are listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. OneOfUs.net and all of the shows on it are 100% subscriber supported. Please consider becoming a subscriber to OneOfUs.net. Keep the site and all of our great shows going and get some terrific bonus content as well.
So I get that Nickelodeon is very choosy and selective with what they put on their streaming service, but why did they sell it to Netflix? I still don't know. Like, are they broke or something? Why couldn't they put it on their own channel? I mean,
Nickelodeon is a streaming service?
Sell to Netflix, turn the page. Sell to Netflix, turn the page.
Oh my gosh, is that a reference, like the million references that are in this short film?
Well, it's obvious enough to be one.
You make it sound like that's a bad thing, dude.
I feel like we're going to have a division here on this review. But hey, everybody, this is me again on this review for Rocko's Modern Life, Static Cling. This is the first new thing for Rocko in, 22 years, something like that, since it ended in 97?
Oh, God, yep. I'm old.
I know, right? I watched this as it aired as a child, and I feel so ancient reviewing this thing. But yeah, it's me, Cesarian. Over here, as we mentioned here, we got Ben. How you doing, buddy?
Doing pretty good.
Excellent. And we got some new people who haven't recorded. Well, one who hasn't recorded in a while. TJ, how you doing, man?
I'm back, baby. No, not really.
Woo! Intern not cast revival.
Woo! 2.0. I mean, 2.0 in Guamo.
Are you going to do an intern.cast special in 20 years also?
If I can find where that little bastard Davey went, sure.
It's not like he's hiding. He comes on me every now and then.
Well, then you obviously have his new number.
But over here, we got a new person. You might have heard him on the Chat Attack back in the day. You might have heard him on some other stuff, on the Facebooks, whatever. Longtime fan, first-time reviewer, Julian.
Hi.
Julian.
My name is Julian. I like movies, and I live in California, and I'm broke.
Look, you don't have to lie to them that much.
Okay, I'll lie to them more.
Well, he's from California, so of course he fucking lies.
I'm not from California, but I live there now. But never mind.
So wait, can I just pull something back here, Justin? I know you're trying to prove how old you are. You didn't have to say Facebooks.
That's what joke is.
He also runs a right ship, so I'm not quite sure where his head is.
That is what typo is in that case. But anyway.
Is that when you type in the city of Conglomo?
Yes, typo is the company that's right next to the Conglomo building. So clearly, why don't we have, since you're new to this, Julian, why don't you give a quick summary? What is the premise of this short film?
Oh yes, Trial by Fire.
Yes.
So this movie basically picks up exactly where the show leaves off. Like, I didn't even remember how it ended. I don't even know if I ever saw the finale of Rocko's Modern Life, but he's in outer space, obviously without a space suit. You don't need one because you're inside. And they find a way to just make it back home. And it's been 20 years. And a lot has changed in 20 years. And this little short is kind of about, is that change good?
Yeah, and I mean, the other main thing is that Rocko, having gotten back to Earth and seeing all the stuff that's changed, he wants to see new episodes of the Fatheads, but the Fatheads has been canceled for 20 years. So he's like, oh, I need to go find the creator, Ralph, the child of Ed and Bev Bighead, and find a way to get him to make more specials. And it's a weirdly, like, it's so meta that meta is, like, not even a good word anymore to describe how that, the whole thing about trying to reboot this series, but this itself is a reboot of the series, trying to justify its own existence as a reboot and as such.
It's also trying to, like, down-talk its own existence in a way of, we don't really need, I don't know why we're doing this anyway, so let's just screw around.
And see, that's, I've seen a lot of people who talk about this movie being great and being funny and charming. But that is ultimately one of the major issues I have with this movie, is that it itself doesn't even understand why it exists. Like, it undermines its own existence so constantly throughout it, and especially with the final little scene they have, which I won't spoil much about it. But at that point, I'm like, so this was entirely pointless. Okay, cool.
Yeah, it's pretty much set it clinging on to every last semblance of its past and never letting go of anything.
Except, but then it tells you, no, but the past is bad, so we need to change it because the future is good, and good things are new, but old things are good too.
I don't think it says the past is bad. I think that, you can't really spoil this. Like, you know, it has a pretty decent moral, and I lost my train of thought from what something you said like 5 words ago. But I think that what the what it does have to say, and like this weird tone it has, I think it kind of works, because I do agree that it kind of squanders the opportunity to do something bigger. And if this was the first episode, like a 40-minute episode of like a series with like 5 more 20-minute episodes, I think it would be way more appreciated. But I think that that's one of the bigger issues with it.
Well, and that's the thing, is that it does feel like it's just a super long episode of the show, which isn't inherently a bad thing. Because, I mean, we've seen great, like, cartoon specials or hour-long specials from other shows. Like, The Fairly Odd Parents had some great little mini-movies like this, and Danny Phantom had some good ones. But I don't know what it is with this one. You know what? I'm going to say this. One thing I do want to say is a huge positive for the show. The art with all the improved HD coloring and that stuff actually looks pretty darn good. Like, they echo the old style of the show pretty down to the T kind of thing.
Oh yeah, it looks fucking fantastic. Like, that no one can deny. Like, the art style, it looks exactly like how I remember it, and that's how it should look.
I mean, everything is exactly the way you remember it. I think you guys are a little bitter that you just grew up out of this type of humor. It's exactly the same. And if you're gonna bring it back, like, I mean, would you want them to change everything to the point where your complaint would then be, this wasn't Rocco, this isn't the Rocco I remember? No, it's exactly the same. No,
don't get me wrong, I actually really like anything that they changed about it. My whole thing is that just story-wise, it kind of like just comes and goes. Like,
that's what
like
Rocco did, man. That's what Rocco's about.
But it's also rushing into every single reference they can fit in, for better sometimes, but mostly for worse. Like, background references, great, throw those in there. But they waste so much of this 45-minute runtime, which is really super short, on easy references. And it's like, I get it, but you're not, like, charging anybody money for this. You're not making money off nostalgia. Everybody was going to watch this anyway because it's on goddamn Netflix. You don't need to milk it for all the nostalgia points in front of the story. Give us the story.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, is that I clearly have not seen Rocco in a long time, but I do remember old Rocco shorts, like that stuff. They felt a little more narrow cast in their plot lines. Like, they're very focused, they're very character driven, they're very, you know, they're still very satirical and tongue in cheek, but there was always like a very character specific goal it was trying to achieve. In this one, Rocco, Heifer, and Filbert really take a backseat for a lot of the movie. Like, it feels like even though they're driving the plot forward, they're not actually gaining anything from this. Like, Rocco's even like only major character development at the very end kind of feels like it was handed to him, just like, oh, I guess I learned something for reasons kind of thing.
And yeah, that was the one thing that kind of bummed me out about it, was that it wasn't really about those characters. I bet if you counted the time, like, they're not on screen for the whole thing.
No, like, especially Heffernan and Filbert, they're just barely in this movie, it feels like. They're there just to make references to modern technology stuff.
And touching on what you mentioned, how, like, they're, you know, they used to be more focused, like, every time they come up, they're showing something new. It's like, oh, look at me with Starbucks. Look at me with, like, this tripod stuck to my head, you know, or with the GoPro. Like, there's just so many things that they have to get out of the way, that it kind of sucks that they hyped it up so much and released that one trailer, because I think that's what kind of fucked it up for me.
Oh, yeah, no, seriously, there's that one scene in this movie that's literally just the Comic-Con trailer. Like, literally, it's just that, but, you know, early on in the movie.
How long ago did that trailer come out? Because I feel like that was
2 years ago. Like, 2 years ago, I feel like.
Yeah. That's the other thing, is how did it take this long to make this one? Again, as I said, it feels kind of lazy. Like, those jokes feel super dated. Like, I feel
they
like
were super dated even in that first trailer.
We've had, like, some of those jokes in, like, Futurama, like, a decade plus ago that were timely then and actually better written then, because they got more time to breathe. Like, the iPhone, which is actually in your eye, is better than, like, oh, look at the iPhone. I've got the iPhone 9. Oh, the 10 just came out. It's like, really? That's your joke?
Okay, fair enough. Like, some of the jokes like that are a little bit dated, but I feel like their spin on Starbucks, like them going back and forth between them, among other jokes, I thought that for the most part, as far as the humor in this, it definitely worked.
See, like, those ones even I felt like were ones I've seen in other shows too, like Same. Simpsons and stuff. But the only jokes I really laughed at were the stuff that were actually either character-driven or just so WTF that I didn't know what happened. Like, there was one background joke that got me when they showed the old Chuck E. Chicken store, and it's got, like, vegan Chuck E. Chicken and that kind of stuff. I'm like, okay, that's kind of, like, jokey and silly, of, like, putting labels on stuff that's clearly not appropriate. It's like, And then that one, I won't say exactly what the context, but the joke about pillows kind of got me a little bit. I'm like, okay, yeah,
that was a good one.
It was humorous at first.
I guess my biggest issue is like some of the references that felt so shoehorned in. Like there's a point where they're looking for, the big head son, which, you know, we've already covered that, but like they're trying to show as many references as they can. And what annoyed me, I'm going to call it out just because I can, is the one with the clown and the iron lung. Like that was a joke of Rocco in the show was like buying a painting of it because it was like such a weird thing for somebody to buy and fit for the show. He was like, oh, it's a place and a person he talks to. I'm like, so you're just really shoehorning a reference that could have been a painting in the background of a scene. Really?
Yeah. No, yeah, I forgot that was a reference to an old episode. I'm like, I don't get what the joke was there at first. But then when you explained, I'm like, oh.
It doesn't need to necessarily even be a joke. Like, Rocco's modern life is absurdist, and something like that, that fits the tone.
It was actually a reference, though. So it was a reference that they just shoehorned in as something different because they didn't know how else to fit it in and make it obvious.
Well, because they have a bunch of characters like that they shoehorn in here. Like, really, really big man starts off the movie. You got the sentient foot thing and Grandpa Wolf or Heifer. And they all have, like, these little, like, one-off gags. But it feels like, you know what it feels like? It feels like that those episodes of The Simpsons where they go to the future and they make fun of, like, crazy rampant technology and Futurama-level stuff. Like, this is literally that episode of The Simpsons. But, well, not even the first one, but the second one where they show grown-up Maggie having a baby and all the other stuff going on. And you're like, oh, it's almost exactly the same jokes. And I don't know, I still liked some elements of it, but I also just felt like this, it makes so many jokes about being, you know, about corporate, corporate cartoon cash grabs, that it almost exactly fits those things to the T with this one. Because the whole premise, like they're saying, we need to find Ralph to animate this cartoon, but meanwhile, they're trying to get new cartoons made with, like, oh, no, it's too expensive to do hand-drawn animation. We're going to do CG because it's cheaper and digital art.
Yes, we use computer.
Yeah, it's one of those things where it's like, man. I get it's sort of like a like subtle jab at other Nickelodeon cartoons like The Garfield Show and stuff like that. But at the same time, it was just kind of like, well, it's not really funny. It's just kind of there.
I disagree. Show the shitty 3D animation that made me laugh.
I mean, that was pretty good, but the whole build-up to it was really shitting on, 3D animation and computer animation, which there's actually a lot of good references of that now and good examples
of that. I think this cartoon was animated digitally, too. It has to be, wouldn't it?
Films like Ratatouille, are those the good examples you're talking about of 3D animation?
Well, you know, even like the last Samurai Jack season was so good looking, but it was drawn on computers, you know?
Yeah. Sure. Like they take till the end of the joke to point out that they're talking about CGI because they're saying just, you know, animating on a computer, which is like such a broad statement. And even then, there's still good CGI shows. Like, say what you will, there's like even stuff like Back on the Barnyard is at least a pretty competently animated show, even if it's a crappy ripoff from a movie. And that's a whole other issue all itself.
Yeah,
I get what you're saying, but I think that goes to the movie's point of what it's trying to do, like of things change and like just talking about those changes. I think it fits the tone of like the story and everything.
Yeah,
I feel
go ahead, DJ. Go ahead.
I feel like this wasn't a special made by people that really had their heart in it. I mean, no, let me change that. I feel like it was made by people that didn't plan on doing this. But there was a demand for it from who, I don't know, maybe it was Netflix or maybe it was Nickelodeon. But they said, hey, we're going to redo a Rocco special. You were the guys that were behind it before. So do it again. And you know what? They could have fucked around, but they threw a little bit, a lot of references in. But at the very least, at least they had something to say at the end of it. And yeah, was it poking fun of themselves? Sure. But they had something to say. They could have just dicked around for 45 minutes and nothing happened. And yeah, sure, maybe you can see it that way, but again, they had a point, and they got the point across.
Well, see, here's the thing.
There's definitely character arcs in this. Like, you can't deny it. Like,
I deny that.
Yeah,
I deny you, Justin. Now what?
Thank you. Yeah, there are clear character changes that are just very obvious. Like, you don't even need to, like, explain them. And you show, like, the way that it, like, works in this movie, it comes off as a cliche, but that plays on the whole reboot, we're just doing cash grab. Like, this is a weird blend of things. Like, it's simple, but at the same time, I think there's more there than meets the eye.
Kind
of like a Transformer, but not a car.
But see, that's why I feel like this doesn't really have very good character development. Because the only character I felt had any growth in the story was Mr. Bighead. Which, man, I love that character. I've always liked Mr. Bighead so much.
So you're saying that Rocco wanting his show back and then not wanting his show back is not a character change?
A dramatic character change.
But then you just said he was that big. Mr. Bighead was the only one.
No, he still wanted the show back. He wanted the exact show back, and that's not a character change. That's
the same character. Well, and even when he says, like, okay, fine, change is good, it's a character thing that's forced on him by all the other characters and the show itself. So it's not actually natural character growth. It's just, well, we need to get to this point in the story, so you need to change yourself or else show can't end, pretty much. So, I don't know.
For me, that works within this self-aware tone, though. Like, it comes across as like, all right, we got 2 minutes left, like, these characters need to hug now.
But like, that's the thing, is that I didn't feel like it was very clever or funny about it. And that's one of the... Okay, I gotta say this. One of the big things we're dancing around is a giant plot point that... I mean, I would like to say they kept on the wraps, except there was a giant news story that full out spoiled it before the movie even came out. So, I mean, should we talk about it? Or
do you think I didn't have it spoiled for me, and I was pleasantly surprised.
Okay, so yeah, we won't say what it is then. But I mean, I'll just say this, that it's definitely something that's trying to be very like modern and progressive and different for other cartoons.
And while it achieves it, it definitely does it.
I say that it does, except I never really cared much because also...
Can we talk about it so I can tell you why it does it?
Just do it. It's a fucking cartoon. No one's going to be caring about it.
Let's just do it at least. Okay, if you don't want to hear this point, there's spoilers coming up. I think you've kind of got the gist of what we're thinking about or what we feel about this, so go from there.
Okay, so I will just say this, that yes, they do meet Ralph Bighead at some point in the story, and he has full-on transitioned into being a woman named Rachel. So
yeah, already... That's fucking huge. Like, I never really could get into Steven Universe. That shit went over my head, and I rarely say that. This, I thought that it was very on the surface, and they made good jokes around it, and they just said it, and they just did it. And then having the dad's reaction, Mr. Bighead, be the way it was, that was perfect. And I agree that they could have had more of, like, a reason for him to accept his son, but just having him, like, accept him at the end, like, that goes in line with classic television tropes, which is what they're playing with the whole time.
Sure, except that we already had an arc like that with Ralph when he became a cartoonist, and Ed had to learn how to live with his son not being a business guy like him. So that's the thing, where it's not that I don't mind that it's a trans character going on there, except it's literally just another reference, because even Ed does the same thing, the "I have no daughter" kind of thing like he did with the old cartoon. And I'm just like, you know, I just wish I cared more. Like, and also, my problem is, too, I just don't like Ralph or Rachel as a character very much. Like, even in
I do, Justin.
Okay. I think you, Justin, are that. Mr. I'm Bighead.
Even in the old cartoon, I was just like, yeah, Ralph is just kind of a buzzkill in a lot of this stuff. And he's got, like, actually one of the best episodes ever is the one, Wacky Deli, that has Ralph featured prominently in it. But I feel like it's funniest without anything that has to do with Ralph himself in that episode.
You think that character's a buzzkill? Like, you think he fucks up the moment?
I think... Not even so, okay, maybe buzzkill's the wrong word. I find him way less interesting than everyone else in the show. And so, for the fact that the plot here to roll so much around him, I'm just like, okay, you know, Ralph's okay.
I agree with you. Like, he's not my favorite. But, like, when I realized that the movie was like going to focus on him, I was like, okay, like, I wish I could see these other characters. Like, I love the character of Rocco, and he kind of got the shaft.
Yeah,
but I think that the character that they did and the arc they gave him, like, as cliche as it all was, like, it was purposeful, and it's a dumb little funny cartoon, you know, and I'm glad we got it.
I'm just saying, that's the thing, where I do have fond memories of Rocco. It wasn't my absolute favorite old Nicktoons cartoon.
What
I
the just hell feel like.
Well, I mean, that's also void. Saying, like, what? Like,
your opinion is void.
We got one of my favorite Nickelodeon cartoons coming back next week, so let me just say that. But that's the thing where I feel like here, it just ignored some of the stuff that made Rocco great. Because even some of my characters who I actually like a lot, like, what's her name? Dr. Hutchinson, or Hutchings from, you know, Filbert's wife? I think she gets 3 lines of dialogue in this entire thing. They're all just like, hi there! Hello!
What makes Rocco great?
I was going to say.
Rocco, what makes Rocco great is not just the satire and the commentary, because that stuff is there, but the reason why it's great is because it's so character-focused. Like, Heifer has clear arcs in the show, and Filbert does too, and Rocco.
But that's
and
in here.
It doesn't. Character arcs backseats to the references here, I feel like. That's the big major issue, is that the satire overwhelmed the comedy and the story.
When you guys say references, like, are you guys saying it's referencing pop culture or
no self-referential?
No, I say both.
Referencing itself.
Because to me, Filbert's character kind of changed in the way of embracing technology and how he became like a low-key Twitch streamer, kind of the way that Andy Milonakis. I don't know if anyone remembers that guy, but he streams on Twitch. He'll walk around in public with like a camera like stuck on his head.
Oh, sure. No, I mean, that's a clear reference to something. I just felt that it wasn't very funny. Like, it was okay. It was mildly amusing. But I'm just like, I kind of wish that if they were going to give Filbert an actual arc, that actually did something that played into growing him as a character. Instead, it's just him just making references to stuff that's in pop culture. And Heifer gets the worst stuff, where it's just like, oh, he gets to play VR games, and he gets to ride a Segway. And yeah, that's about it. He doesn't really do anything.
They put a remote in his butt, okay? Can you remember?
Yeah, you deep mean characterization. Intro that went on way too long about stuff nobody remembered them being in space about? Yeah, that long.
Because even the stuff in space was weird, because technically that's not fully in continuity with the way the show ended, because didn't his kids travel with him in space, Filbert's kids?
I barely remembered Filbert had kids, and so did this movie, actually.
Yeah, they literally show them off like the very end of the cartoon, just like, hey, by the way, kids, hello! That kind of thing.
So you had a problem with them forgetting about a bunch of baby turtles, but you don't have a problem with that a dog survived in space for 20 years.
The show starts with just going, you know what, go with it.
One's narrative, the other one is suspension of disbelief. And in a cartoon, suspension of disbelief means nothing, but narrative does.
You know, yeah. Speaking of going with it, one thing we haven't mentioned yet that I'm glad I just remembered. I was kind of disappointed at first when I saw it that it said Y7, but I was pleasantly surprised when I watched it with how many sex jokes were like just forced into it.
Well, and
I know that they used to do it, but like they took it to another level here. Like they were being very obvious about some of the stuff.
Well, there was one in particular that was probably the funniest part in the movie for me that I don't want to spoil yet because I want to make that my rating. But it was really nice to see those moments, and especially they almost exclusively come from Bev, who I love Bev. I think she's a great character. And again, a character who was barely featured in this movie, I feel like.
Bev is the hook-handed girlfriend.
No, that's
Bev
is that
the wife turtle or wife frog.
Wife frog.
Wife frog's my new Xbox gamer tag.
Yeah, I just said that with a straight face.
Yeah. We have to be serious about this important children's cartoon.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we've covered a lot, and again, we're almost at halfway through the runtime of the actual short film. So, any other points you want to make before we go into our final thoughts? Or, I mean, TJ, you haven't said as much. Is there any other points you wanted to bring up?
No, I mean, I'll just transition to my final thoughts, I think. I think that you all are maybe taking this a little too seriously. I'm serious. You laugh, but it was always a stupid, silly show. It's humor. You yourself, Justin, said that its biggest quality back then was just the satirical craziness that always went on in the background.
No, you didn't listen. I said the characters were the best part of the show.
So. But you also mentioned the satirical craziness. Maybe not in that verbiage, but you were talking about how just things were always going on in the background. Things were always just silly. And I think that was there. I think it's got the heart of the original show. I don't think it goes any further than it needs to. I actually think the shortness of it is its detriment. Because I think it could have...
Yeah.
It could have... some of the things Definitely. They sped through, like the whole searching for Ralph, was like, that's like a 2-minute scene. And it could have gone shorter. I mean, it could have gone longer. They could have gotten more jokes out of it. Maybe some stuff that's not in O-Town, and they could get some character humor from it. But it's, for the most part, it does what it's meant to do. And like I said, someone demanded this. I don't know who, but someone did. And it came out.
It was me.
It was made. And it's exactly like the show. So, and I think in the world where we always get stuff like this, and the biggest complaint we get most of the time is, oh, that's not the show I remember. Or this remake was stupid because it was just, it's not even close to what the original had. This does it. I think this is out of the two options that it seems to be these days,
it took the better road. The better road of being a little too close to home and not doing anything new. But that in itself, like it having a point and something to say at the end, it may have been forced. It may have been quick, but they still did it.
Well, so then what's your final rating?
My final rating is 1 out of 2 pant legs I'm not wearing, just like Rocco.
Okay, fair enough.
What?
Julian, what do you think?
I kind of agree with what he just said. I think that it could have gone for 20 more minutes for me, probably. If they end up doing a show, maybe I'll give it a couple more points. But I just wanted more. It made me laugh. Not everything made me laugh, but I liked what they were doing. They didn't reinvent the wheel, but it's a nice wheel. And I'll give it 7.9 wallabies out of 10.
Well, I'll go next, so then you can end off on this one.
Sure.
So, yeah, I feel like, again, I'm amazed at how much that apparently we were mentioning it before the recording that Ben and I are like the only people who weren't very crazy about this at all. And everyone else is just like, oh, this is the best thing to come out in years. It's amazing. It's so great. And look, I don't hate this. I don't think it's even bad. I just think of everything, all the potential it had to take what was great about Rocco and put it into a new format and to really squander so much potential. It just kind of disappointed me. I was just like, wow, this really had very little aspirations. And
wow, I'm surprised.
I know, that's the thing. Like, you know, when we talk about things that are being rebooted and brought back to the way they were, sometimes it's good if those things can actually progress the story. Because one example I would say, it's not flawless, but the last season of Samurai Jack actually did stuff to change the story and end it. You know,
agreed.
Like it did stuff. Yeah, where that actually did something to say, okay, you guys know, we have some references to stuff that you liked in the past, but almost everything in this season is new content and new stuff for the characters to address. And again, not perfect, had some issues with the ending, but I felt that at least it did try to end. And this one just felt like it was just kind of there, you know, it was kind of there, but it kept trying to force itself to be relevant, just like, well, look, the change and this kind of stuff and new, you're too stuck to the past and therefore we need to look forward and look for new stuff. While regurgitating a whole bunch of material that we've already seen from Rocco. So I'm just a little disappointed with this. I really hope that Invader Zim Enter the Fortress is better. Because that one is one of my favorite Nickelodeon cartoons. And if that one flops, I'm just going to be like, oh boy. So
you're going to go on record saying that this flops.
I'm going to say this one. I'm using flops as extreme. I'm going to say this is not nearly as good as anything people are saying about it. I think this is just okay and barely passable as it is.
I'm gonna
give this, before you criticize me again, I'm gonna give this 5 out of 10 sexy naked photos of Ed.
So we have the same rating.
God.
I give it half and you gave it half.
Well, that's what shocked me about your rating. I'm like, wait, 1 out of 2, that means you gave it a failing grade, because 50% is not good.
It's not really.
It
no.
doesn't have to be bad, though. That's my point. Is like, is it great? No,
it's arbitrary
ratings.
But I was
job.
Just shocked. I'm like, you're the one who pointed out. Like, it's arbitrary ratings. You're like, wait a minute. You gave it the exact same score, except one's positive, one's negative.
Yeah. So let me, Ben. Sorry, Ben. Real quick, but Justin, do you think this was made in order to bring in a new audience? Yes or no?
I think it's made for an old audience, but at the same time, I am that old audience. So I'm the person that it should be aiming for, and I thought.
But
it
so am
all.
I, and I liked it. You see?
Well, you have bad taste, so clearly that's the problem.
just think that there's more good than bad, and I think that this was not only an honest effort, but it came across as very genuine, and it wasn't pandering in the way that it could have. Like, in a way, it is definitely pandering to a certain audience, but I don't think it does it in a way where it's, like, just selling out. You know, it's not like just going, oh, transgender characters are in this. You guys hear there's a trans character in this cartoon. It's trans.
No, but that's the stuff it didn't sell out on, but the actual storytelling, I felt like it just kind of took, like, eh, who cares? Kind of stuff like that. So, but sorry,
maybe,
it is Ben's turn, so.
Sure thing, but last thing I want to say to critique what you said, like, the dialogue in this, like, the script, like,
it's
was
not very good.
Written in. Oh, okay, get the fuck out.
fight me. I will challenge you on this one. I think that it's. Yeah, anyways.
Yeah, let me go to Mike, because I will say, I feel the script it is pandering, actually. There's a lot of pandering in this. There's so many blatant references. When they, as I said, they could make it just background things or side things and actually have a plot. Like, Rocko's Modern Life was great because they did have actual plot and stories that they finished in 30 minutes that were actually interesting and characters did grow in them. And this, I mean, one,
there's a whole episode where Philip gets married, and that's a great episode.
Exactly. Well, there is an actual plot and there is actual development between the relationships and the characters.
Not much over 45 minutes, and I wouldn't say any more than in a regular episode. They just filled it with twice as much references and, you know, cheap jokes that honestly sometimes didn't even work. Most of that intro in space, like, they set up some things, but it felt like it went on way too damn long, as did the references to, oh, look, we're in the future, but they're also 10-year-old jokes, and they're not clever 10-year-old jokes. They're the same as everywhere else I've seen them. I really loved Rocko as a kid. I loved how weird and strange it was. Like, I like Ren and Stimpy now, but I wasn't a Ren and Stimpy kid. I was a Rocko kid, and I was like, you can see the parallels between them, but this was more where I was at, and this just felt, it felt really cash grabby, and honestly, it just felt like, as I forget who had said earlier, that it was like, yeah, this may not have been what they wanted to do. They didn't think they wanted to make another episode, but somebody gave them money and they said they should do it, so they made it. It feels like that, in that kind of effort, but it's like, well, I guess we got the money, we got to do something now. I'm gonna give it 5 out of 10 newscasts that frame nothing and need to stop showing up in this damn movie.
Okay. That was the worst stuff that happened in this. I'm just like, look, if you're going to do, like, fourth wall breaking, newscasting, jokey bits, make them funny, for heaven's sake.
I thought they were kind of funny. I really think that you guys aren't giving this credit for what it did.
I'm not, like, going to give things passing grades for barely trying.
But I think that it did more than barely try. Like, I think that, for example, like, yeah, we all saw it 2 years ago, the opening scene, you know, where it goes, like, to him all the way to the part where it's like the reboot, you know, and it's being self-aware. That shit, that's top quality, man. Like,
animation quality is everything.
No, but jokes, the content. Maybe not.
The jokes aren't all that fun. Like, even when I first saw that trailer, I was just like, okay, that was mildly amusing.
Trailer is great.
No, I thought the trailer was hilarious.
Yeah, scene.
I was like, I'll give it a shot, but I'm not sure yet.
Yeah. Again, Enter the Forpist, I'm looking at you. Please live up to the hype. So,
I mean, if it's as good as this, some of us will be happy.
Hey, Justin. Hey, I mean, the Hey Arnold reboot movie was good, so there's some chance.
I did not.
Hey, Justin, I have one more retort to you.
Okay.
I wish upon thee that bad luck and extreme misfortune will possess your pathetic soul for all eternity.
So you've been Googling that this whole time?
No, yeah. I remember that by heart, motherfucker. How dare you question my Rocko heart, my Rocko hood, okay?
Are you Rocko hard on? What?
Oh, yeah. I have a hard on for Rocko. It's a half chub. Because that's what I gave it, a half chub.